You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
We are called to choose between two treasures, two visions, and two masters. Learn more about God and possessions in week 11 of our series, Redefined.
Good morning, Victory Dumaguete. Good morning. I'm so excited to be here. Every time I come here in Dumaguete, I get so energized. Your Sunday service is like a youth service. Grabe ang energy, and I'm not a guest. I was here in 1996, first year college, and 5 years in college, extended 1 year. I'm glad I extended because during that time, that was the time that Victory Dumaguete was being planted as a church. So, naagi na yung purpose, no? But I strongly encourage the students to graduate on time. Be good with your studies. But what happened was, during my last year, in my fifth year, Victory Dumaguete was planted and I was reached out, and because of that, I was saved and I got to know God and I get to do what I do today. And I just want to let you know the value of this church here in Dumaguete City. Dako kay ni inyong gibuhat dire, dako kay gi-impact yun. If not for this church, I will never understand how it is to love God, how it is to have a relationship with God. And imagine what you're doing out there right now with the impact that you have in NORSU, in Silliman University, in Science High, in all of the campuses here in this community. I tell you, you are changing the campus and changing the world. Woo! Today, we're going to talk about Redefine, but before that, let me introduce to you my family. That's the most beautiful woman in the world to me. That's Grace. How many of you believe that grace changes everything, as what the song says? Totally changed my life, changed my weight, changed my budget, changed my everything. And I'm so excited to come back. I was just texting her a while ago. I'm so excited to come back home. And that's Helene Louise. She's 1 year and 3 months. She's really a blessing. She may be very behave and we look at her very adorable, but in person, I tell you, she's like a whirlwind. She's like a hurricane. She climbs the stairs up and down 10 times. She loves going to the pool. The moment she drops in the pool, she doesn't want to get out of the pool. It's like a struggle to get her out of there. But I love her so much. The moment I had my baby, I really understood how it is that how much God loved me in a way as a father. So there, that's her family. Why am I showing you all of these things? Because we value family here in Victory. We won't sacrifice success in the ministry at the expense of our family. As much as we serve here, we serve all the more at home. I'm so excited how this community is going to be changed as we do that and bring the kingdom of God here in Victory Dumaguete. Do you believe that? Yeah. Talking about the kingdom of God, that's what the Redefined series is all about. If you're going to read Matthew 6, if you're going to read the Sermon on the Mount, if you're going to read the book of Matthew, it's all about Jesus is reinstating the kingdom of God. And when we talk about the kingdom of God, and the reason why we're talking about Redefined, because the Jews during that time have a different idea of what the kingdom of God is like. Lahi ilang pagsabot kung unsa ang kingdom of God. What they understand was that they're waiting for a king that will come from the line of David, that will sit on the throne and topple down the Roman Empire that has been oppressing them. So they're waiting for that superpower. Because before, during the time of David, they were the world superpower. People were afraid of them. People hear about the parting of the Red Sea. People hear about the walls of Jericho, what God has done to them, and all of the nations are afraid of them. And that's the kind of kingdom that they were looking for. They were looking for that Messiah and Savior, the King of Kings, that would reinstate that kind of kingdom. Yet in the book of Matthew, Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Son of God, came and redefined what that kingdom of God looks like. That's what this lesson, this preaching is all about, the redefinition of what the kingdom of God. And when we say redefine, it's all about a redefinition of terms. How many of you know that sometimes terms change, right? Like ATM. What I know about ATM was that it's an automated teller machine. Right now, ATM has a different meaning. It's at the moment. That's the meaning of ATM. It used to be that thing. Now it's been redefined. That's what happened also with this kingdom of God. It used to be defined in such a way, and now Jesus is redefining it on what really is like. And redefinition in Jesus' terms also is, before the definition is this, it's simple, but I'm giving the full definition. He's redefining it, not abolishing it. That's why he's saying, I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. Before the law is this, just the letter. Now I'm going to give you the spirit behind it. That's what Jesus is saying. That's what, how he redefined it. And today we're going to redefine as well what God in possessions is all about. Because if you're going to look at our series, first he talked about the redefinition of a Christian character. Number two, a redefinition of a relationship with others. Like, how many of you love the installment on Love Your Enemies? Yeah, I love that topic, don't you? And for our recent preachings, we're not talking about relationship with God. So we're talking about prayer, talking about fasting. And I tell you, our relationship with God has something to do also with God in possessions. Don't you know that your possessions has a say on your relationship with God? And now he's redefining it for all of us. And let's all go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 24. Talk about God and possessions. What's the relationship between our possessions and our relationship with God? Let's all go there. I hope you're bringing your Bible in church. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. And I love this next word, said, you cannot serve both God and money. Let's start looking at this verse and we'll look at it section by section because Jesus has been talking about, seems like three different ideas here in these verses, but yet it's all connected together if you're going to look at it closely. First, I'm going to explain to you what this verse is not. Jesus is not against having possessions. Jesus is not saying, don't have possessions. So, okay, God in possessions, you can serve both God and money. So, therefore, I'm going to give my iPhone to somebody. I'm going to give my car to somebody. I'm going to give my house to somebody else. He's not against becoming rich. Even he's not saying that. Jesus is not KJ. In fact, he says in the Bible that it's he who provides for everything that we need in life in godliness. Meaning, everything that we need in our spirituality, he provides it for us. Everything that we need right here, right now on earth, he provides everything for us because he is a good father. Don't you believe that? How many of you believe that God wants you to become so rich so you can serve the kingdom of God? How many of you wants you to have the money in the world so that you can fund missions, so you can go in the world and preach the gospel, so we can plant more churches, so everyone would see who Jesus is? That's God desires for all of us. This is not about Jesus against you having possessions. And if you go even to look at the book of Ephesians, he said there that it is he who gives us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He gives us everything that we need. All right, so this doesn't mean that if somebody gives you a house, don't give me that house. I don't like that. That's not what he's saying. If somebody will give you money, it's not about, okay, ew, money. Allergic, ana? And it's not about that. But rather, he's talking about a deeper issue on possessions. He's talking about our hearts towards possessions. How's your heart? And we'll define what the heart is in the next couple of verses. Why is he so concerned about it? First, because the teaching of the day, the Pharisees were the ones teaching, and Jesus described the Pharisees as lovers of money. And in fact, they think that if you're born poor, if you live in a poor family, you are cursed by God. You're not blessed by God. So everyone wants to be rich. That's the present-day teaching. All right? And in fact, during the time, the Pharisees enacted a law in the Talmud that if a boy is not born in a rich and wealthy family, he cannot be taught the scriptures. Everyone wants to be rich so that they would be learned, so that they can study. In fact, the Pharisees during their time were not poor people. They were middle-class businessmen. That's the mindset of the day. Could you imagine when Jesus is preaching this to them? And the tax collectors, Levi, was there. Everyone, and Jesus was saying about possessions and God, everyone's looking, this preaching is for you. Maybe they were doing that. Imagine what's happening during this time. All right, that's the present teaching. And when I read the scripture today, I see present-day Christianity. When I was preparing for this message, ano ko ni Lord, Lord, pwede bang I love you, then I love money? Pwede bang duha na lang? Pwede mag, I love possessions, then I also love you? Diba? Why do I need to choose? Because that's the present-day world. We love possessions, isn't it? Do you want to have a nice car? Do you want to have a nice house? Do you want to have money in the bank? We all want that, right? That's why this preaching is talking about you. Your heart. Ikaw yan. Okay? There's this current currency right now in the internet called Bitcoin. I don't know if you've heard about it. In 2009, it's worth 20 cents. But right now, it's worth $4,600. So those people who first mined Bitcoin during that time were super millionaires, billionaires as of the moment. And there is one guy who in 2009 started mining Bitcoins, and he just put his laptop, and he was able to accumulate 7,500 Bitcoins in 2009 when it was started. So he just left it right there. And in 2013 or 2014 or something like that, Bitcoin started to rise to $100. So he was, wow, I am super rich. But the problem was, when they had spring cleaning, his girlfriend accidentally threw the laptop. So he lost 7,500 worth of Bitcoins, 7,500 times $100. This is a lot of money. So you know what this guy did? He went to the dump trash of his city, and he swam in that dump trash looking for his laptop. To recover the Bitcoins. To make the long story short, he never found the laptop. And he was so devastated. Why do people do that? The love of possessions. Would you swim in the dump trash right now? No. But because you have money there, I think even if 50,000 and not, you're willing to go there. Why? Because of the love of money. How many of you love History Channel and Storage Wars? I love this series in History Channel. And we're so excited. What are they going to get with $500, with $100? Why do we have that in our hearts? Because our hearts have the proclivity to love possessions. All right? And I find myself on the side of loving money and possessions more than God. Sometimes when I look at the stock market, when I look at all of these things, my eyes are so focused on the screen. And I feel like my heart saying to the numbers going up and down, my precious. It tend to be, why? Because our hearts tend to forget about God and just love money. And we wonder, why do you go study? Why do you want to have a business? Why do you want to spend all of your time, energy, and resources building up a business, working you so hard in a call center? Why? Is it because I want to worship you, Lord? It's to have money, right? When you study, do you study because you want to go there and pray for your classmates? Why do you study? Why do you go to your classes? You want to study, have a high grade, have a high GPA so you can land a nice job. And because when you have a nice job, that means you have high salary pay. So that when you have a high salary pay, you can buy whatever you want. And you can go to Singapore and work hard, and all the more you can go to the States. You can hoard all of these cash and go back home, invest it somewhere, and wanna be rich, get married to a very beautiful woman, have a lot of kids, and have the life that you want, isn't it? That's what we want, isn't it? You don't go to school because I want to go to school because I want to pray for my classmates. In Jesus' name. You don't go to school because I want to pray for your professor. Lord, kuhaan na siya, Lord. Okay, terror kay siya. You don't do that. Because our hearts have that proclivity. And Jesus is redefining that perspective in these verses. In verse 90, he said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor dross destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If you're going to look at these verses, is Jesus is giving us very wise investment advice. All right? He said there are two different treasures, treasures on earth and treasures on heaven. He said the treasures on earth is limited. It can be consumed, it can be stolen, but there's a treasure in heaven that cannot be stolen, that is finite. We're going to look at earth, it's finite, it's gold deposits have its own, it's very limited. Power here is limited. Money is limited. Treasures on earth can be destroyed anytime. Buildings can crumble right now. Hurricanes can come and it can be destroyed. Floods can come in and it can be destroyed. But in saying there is this treasure in heaven that is transcendent, that is way beyond the physical, that's not bound by space and time. Do you understand what I'm saying here today? That the treasure that Jesus is offering to all of us, it's something that's not bound by space and time. That is for you. That is in the kingdom. He is saying, if you're in the kingdom, this is the treasure that is for you. When he's saying it's not bound by space and time, it covers the life here on earth, that treasure. Because the life on earth, it has a beginning and it has an end. But this treasure is saying it covers eternity past, time on earth, and eternity future. That treasure cannot be destroyed, and that's what this treasure is all about. It's like a dot versus a line. How many went through geometry class? What is a line? We put arrows towards the end of the line. A line is a set of infinite points. It's like saying treasure on earth is like a dot in that line. And what I'm offering to you is the entire line that has no beginning and has no end. It's like a bottled water versus the Pacific Ocean. When you drink this bottled water, I can drink this right here and I can consume it, everything. It's like saying this is treasure on earth and treasure in heaven is like the Pacific Ocean, which until now it hasn't been fully discovered yet, the deepest of the deepest seas. Try to drink the water in Boulevard if you can consume it. This is what I'm offering. It's like the twinkling of the stars in the sky compared to the rays of the sun. When if you look at straight to the sun, your eyes are going to get burned because that's so powerful. That's how bright it is. He's giving us investment advice. Here on earth, if you're going to love, this is only what you get. But this treasure I'm giving you, including this, and you want to know where your treasure is? He said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He's saying, your heart is connected to your treasure. It could be connected to our person. It can be connected to a thing. And if you're going to define the heart in Greek terms, the heart means the mind, the will, and the emotion. What you think about, what you find joy about, what you're so invested about, what you're thinking, what you're studying about, what are you so consumed about? That's where your heart is. And he said, how do you know where your treasure is? Look at your heart. I want to pose that question to all of you here today. Where is your heart? And let me know where your heart is will determine what kind of treasure you have. I just want to share a story with you. In 2013, God told me to give my car. It was my second car that I bought. And it's a 2006 Vios. I love that car. I always fix it. I had it set up. And in 2013, God told me, give that car away. How would you know where your treasure is? If you can give it away, right? Because if you cannot give it away, then that is your treasure. Am I right? So God told me, and it took me a month to give it away. It was so hard. How can you give a car away? I'm not that rich. I'm a campus missionary, a pastor of the church. I've tried so hard to have this, and I was trying to negotiate with God, Lord, I need this for ministry, I need this to minister to students, I want to honor you with this car, you know, and all of those stuff. And I had lunch with a friend, and he told me, you know what, last month I just gave my Fortuner to this particular pastor, and I was so free, I can sleep at night, bro, and God has been blessing me, and I said, Lord, this is not you, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. And when I was driving my car after that meeting, I felt like the car wasn't mine anymore. I felt like this is not mine anymore. So I arrived in the office. I really knew that this car was for this particular pastor. So I gave it to him. When I gave that card, and he said, "Wow, bro, are you really sure that this is for me?" And something like that. "This is my dream car. Gibola pa ko niya. This is my dream car." So he got the car, and he said, "Are you sure?" "Yes, bro, that's for you." "Sige, hatod na lang, tikas balay." Okay. So it was really hard, and after that, but Lord, you know, I have a lot of dreams. I have a lot of things to do. I want to get married anytime soon. That's my number one. I want to save up for a marriage. I think 36 years old, 35 years old during that time. I'm too old to be single. And I can sell this and put this as a marriage fund or something like that, but give it away. So I remember the 2014 summer. And in 2015, I tell you, when I went to Singapore, I met my wife. I met Grace. And I didn't know that she was the one yet. I just felt like God was telling me she's the one. And so I tried to court her, and I just want to obey. And when I laid down my intentions, she said, "Okay, let's try this out." Oh. We only knew each other for like less than a year or something like that. And it was so fast after that. 2 months after, it became official. 3 months after that, December, I met her mom. I met her family. January 2015, I proposed to her. October 2016, I got married. For some reason, God provided money. We got married in Boracay. That never in my wildest dreams. But God provided for that. When we went to Manila to relocate, we don't have a car. And I tell you, "Lord, this is the reason why I don't want to give my car. Because we need a car here in Manila." But you know what? Her mom told me, "You know what? We have an extra car." And that car was a Mazda 3. Which is way beyond the VSA. Why am I sharing you to all of these things? God doesn't want to ask something from you so that He can deprive you of something. But God wants to ask from you so that you'll know where your heart is so that He can bless you all the more. Because treasures in heaven goes way beyond the current treasures in earth. All right? C.S. Lewis said this, "It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. We're so consumed with our earthly treasures, we cannot imagine what a heavenly treasure looks like." But yet, God wants you to have that. Next verse, He said, "The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Now, He's talking about eye and body. Basically, what He's saying is that your perspective on treasures, your perspective on possessions, your perspective on what you hold in your life, what you treasure so much, affects your life so much, affect the entire course of your life. That it's so important that you get your mind right as far as money and possessions is all about. I tell you, this is true. I've seen a lot of people do a lot of crazy things for money and possessions. A lot of families has been broken because of money and inheritance. A lot of marriages has been separated because of financial issues, wrong mindsets on these things. Just thinking about the power and the ability of earthly possessions and not on the heavenly treasures that we have. Because your thinking on this will affect how you live. Your thinking will affect your living. That's how important this verse is. In verse 21, he said, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the others." Now he's saying, in the kingdom of God, it's not just about earthly kingdom, earthly possessions, and heavenly kingdom. Now he's saying here, master. He's saying here, allegiance. Basically, what he's saying, if you're serving earthly masters, you cannot be in the kingdom because you're not serving the king of that kingdom. That's what he's saying here. You will know if you are in the kingdom if your heart is serving the king. That's what he's saying. But if your heart is serving possessions, therefore, you're not in the kingdom because you're serving another king. If there's one topic that Jesus talked about more than anything else that would compete with him, all right? You know what topic? Money. He talked about money more than prayer, more than fasting, more than whatever. Because this is how important it is. He said to the young rich man, what he said, it's so hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. I'm not saying not all rich man can enter. He said it's hard because of the heart. Because if you're serving the riches of the earth, you can never serve. Basically, that's what he's saying here. And the word serve here is called doulos. It means a slave. And there are two kinds of slave. Either you're a voluntary slave because you love the master, or you're a bought slave. So meaning you have no choice. Whether you like it or not, you're a slave. But in this case, it talks about a voluntary slave because of the words that he used. He's talking about hate and love, despise and devoted. It talks about being submitting yourself as a slave. And the word master means kurios. Kurios is same Greek word that we use in the word Lord. All right? So he's saying, you can serve two kurios. You can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one or love the other, despise the one devoted to the other. Basically saying, you have to make a choice. There's no gray area. And he's saying here that your view of money and possessions affects your relationship with God. You have to make a choice. And here in these verses, as I end, Jesus is giving us the key towards laying up treasures in. Do you want to lay up treasures in heaven? Are you convinced that it's better to lay up treasures in heaven than treasures in earth? He's saying the only way for us to lay up treasures in heaven is to serve God. To make God as the master. Because God as the master not only can provide the things on earth, but can also provide things in eternity. He's a very good master. But if you serve money, if you lay up treasures for here, it's only for here. Good advice. The way for you to lay up treasures in heaven is to serve God and lay up treasures in heaven. How do you know if you're not a slave of possessions? If you're willing to let go of the very thing that you treasure the most. That's how you know. How many of you watch Lord of the Rings? I so love Lord of the Rings. And there are two characters there that's very prominent. That's Gollum and Frodo, right? Basically, the story of Lord of the Rings revolves around the One Ring, right? The One Ring that will rule them all. It's called the Ring of Power, and it's so powerful that the bearer of the ring, if you're not pure enough, you'll be consumed by the ring. And that's what happened with Gollum. It doesn't look like that in the beginning if you watch The Hobbit, but when he got the ring, he started to be corrupted by it, consumed by it, and he looks at it every single day. He touches it, puts it in his pocket, he gets it again, he looks at it again, he rubs it, he puts it again in his pocket, and he holds it again, and he calls it, my precious. Isn't it? That's how we look at our possessions. You look at that person, my precious. You look at your grades, my precious. You look at your allowance, zero. Okay, nothing. You look at your bank account, you're always looking at it if it's the right amount. You're so afraid to lose your job. You don't want to offend your boss, even if he's trying to let you do something that is so against what God wants you to do because you don't want a demotion. You're aiming for that promotion. Isn't it how we look at the things here on earth? This is the problem with possessions here. It has this distortion of reality. It seems like it gives us security. That's what I feel. Every time I have a lot of money, I feel so secure. I have a lot of money, and I'm afraid to lose it. Guys, how do you know if you are not putting the things here on earth as your treasure, if you're like Frodo? You know what Frodo did? When he got the ring, when it's time for him to give it up, because that was his mission, he climbed the mountain of Mordor, because that is his calling, to serve. That is his calling. He climbed the mountain of Mordor, got the ring. He had a hard time throwing it because of the power of the ring. He opened his hands and he destroyed it. That's the picture of somebody who's not consumed by the treasure. My question, do you want to be a Gollum or a Frodo? Not the face, but the heart and the character. That's the picture. I want you to think of the very thing that you possess. And are you willing to let go of that relationship in exchange to the kingdom of God? For some of you here today, I tell you, the picture that God wants is a slave and a master, really willing to give up and forsake all for Him. In exchange for eternity. This is in exchange for unfailing love. In exchange for things on earth and things on heaven. In exchange, do you know that our life here on earth is just a small speck of what eternity looks like? This is a practice to the real game. And we live as if this is the real thing. This is not the real thing. God is giving us through these perspectives in the Bible of where our mindset should be like, are you willing to let go of that money that God wants you to let go? Maybe to give to missions, maybe to give to whatever. Or to give to that relative, to give to that friend in need, maybe to give. Maybe God has been telling you to do that in exchange for that kingdom. Maybe you're here today, God is telling you to give up that person that has been hindering you from a deeper relationship with God, that is causing you to compromise in your relationship and sin against God. Maybe God is giving you to give up that job because it's causing you to compromise in your relationship. Basically, this is what he's saying. Do you want to trust the God of the universe that He can provide for you? Do you want to trust the God of the universe that He can secure you? Do you want to trust that the God of the universe that He can? Do you want to serve this God of the universe? Use your temporary treasures to serve our eternal God. Let it serve God. I tell you, God will multiply it all the more, and He will cause you so that you can serve Him all the more. The pushback here is this. Can God really take care of me if I give up the things that I treasure? Have you ever asked that question? God, if I give her up, I was like that when I was in college. If I give up na ko siya, Lord, are you sure na you will secure my future wife? Basig ang imong ihatag na ko, di ko ganahan. Have you ever thought about that? What if I don't like his face? What if I don't like how he blinks his eyes? What if I don't like her smile? What if hindi kami ka-level of wavelength? Oh, mga na, what if his grades is not like my grades? What if her family background is that? I tell you, in my experience, God was able to exceed beyond what I expected. Because God is a good God. God is a generous God. He is a very good master. If you serve this master, he is generous, he's gracious, he is very, very good. Money is a bad master. It's a good slave, it's a good tool, but it's a very bad master. It will slave you out. It will want you to overtime pila ka hours if that is your master. It will want you to give up the more important things in life for the sake of money. It will want you to give up your family for the sake of money. It will want you to give up your husband for the sake of money. It will give up your life here with your family to go somewhere else for the sake of money. It is a very, very bad master. But God is a very good God. He's a very generous God. He is very, very generous. If God can secure your eternity, He can secure your life here on earth that is temporary. Very good investment advice. As I end today, I just want to expound more on the goodness of God. Because that's what really it is. He's a very good master. This is a no-brainer, guys. And he's saying in these verses, if you're serving earthly treasures, you're not really serving the King of the Kingdom of God. If your heart is for these earthly treasures, you're outside the kingdom of God. And it's not for me to judge what's happening in your heart. That's between you and God. I'm just preaching what the Bible is saying. But I want to expound to you today and implore you to give up that and serve the King of Kings, because this is a very good God. He's a very generous God. He loves you. In fact, He's so generous, He gave His one and only Son for us. I cannot even think about giving up my baby for someone else. But this God, who's been with His Son for eternity past, What the Bible is saying, because He loved us so much, He predestined it from the beginning of time that He will redeem us by the death of His Son as a gift to every one of us, that if He lives that perfect life here on earth, that will be a substitutionary life for all of us who can never live that perfect life for Him. That if He dies, that perfect death, that will be the perfect payment for all of our sins, because everyone have sinned and everyone have fallen short. Before this King of the kingdom, we can never enter the kingdom of God. We can never be sons and daughters of God. We can never be in His eternal presence. But yet, He made a way. He was so generous. He killed. I just want to say that. He allowed His Son to be murdered by sinful men like you and me, to die a death, shed His blood, and the third day He rose again to conquer sin and death, to give us a gift. You know what that gift is? Gasa, gift, something you did not earn. He's so generous. This King that we're talking about in the kingdom, the Master, He's so generous that He gave a gift, and that's what we call not just life on earth, but we call eternal life. So that you will be rich. When I say rich, it's not just possessions, beyond possessions. So that you will be rich eternally. And I want to push that harder to all of you. He gave that so that we will have an inheritance. And He sealed that. How? By giving the Holy Spirit. Siya mismo, third person in the Trinity, as an inheritance of that inheritance to come. You know what that inheritance is? That eternal life with Him. You know what the book of Revelation is saying? How generous this God is? That everything you do for the kingdom of God, there will be crowns and rewards for it. If you preach the gospel, there is an eternal reward for it. If you persevere, there is a reward for it. And when that time comes, and when we meet the King of Kings in the second coming, we will be judged for those who believe according to what you have done. And we will line up, and the angels will be clapping. And us, the body, we will walk in the aisle like a marriage ceremony, and we will be crowned with these rewards. And after that, we will come before the throne of grace and lay down our crowns, because the real reward of the kingdom, the real riches of the kingdom, is not the crowns, but He Himself. My question: where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. Do you want to exchange the fleeting temporary treasures on earth to the eternal rewards of the kingdom?